lesson this morning is from the very old book of Joshua. And we have the correct words on the slide, Sandy? Okay, we had different versions between what I read and what the slide showed on this morning at the first service. So hear now God's word for us from Joshua 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. But God continues, saying, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant." So Joshua tells his people, "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods your ancestors served beyond the rivers in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, now that the weather is colder and gloomier, I like to cozy up with a needle and thread. And I like to stitch in front of football. It's something I've liked doing since I was in eighth grade. And you know what? These words from Joshua beckon me. I think stitching a pillow or something like that with these words would be nice. Wouldn't you agree? And I know I'm not alone. Look at all these wonderful ideas. Wouldn't they be nice? Well, wouldn't you like to wake up with that mug? They'd be nice in your house, too. How sweet. How charming. Not just on a pillow, but on a plate, or even on a gourd. That's my favorite, on a gourd. Yes, despite the weather outside, I'm already feeling kind of comfy and cozy. Except if we're truthful, these words are anything but comfy and cozy. They are rough and edgy. These words from Joshua require action, and more action than just stitching them on a pillow or painting them on a wall. So to understand them as something more than quaint, let's look at the context in which they were first spoken. And these words were proclaimed by a prophet to a people who were experiencing freedom for the first time in generations. And now that they were free, they vacillated between being self-satisfied, hey, look at us, we're free, to being dominated by the chaos inherent in freedom. Now, most of us don't think that with freedom comes chaos. And probably because for generations, freedom is all we have ever known. But these words were proclaimed after the ancient Israelites just had been freed from slavery and can finally see the fulfillment of God's promises made to their ancestors. Freedom. Freedom! How wonderful! And yet, they grumbled. They found freedom wasn't the panacea they thought it would be. Why? Because back then, as today, with freedom comes responsibility. The responsibility to think for yourself, the responsibility to take risks or be stuck with complacency, and the responsibility to choose, particularly choosing the bigger things in life. Now that's a lot of responsibility. So it's easier to dream about freedom, isn't it, than to live with its consequences. And that's why Joshua challenges, if you want to worship the gods of the people who enslaved you, go ahead. Just remember, your freedom is a gift of God. The water you drink are from rivers you didn't create. The food you eat are from plants you didn't plant. All of this, all of the blessings of life are from God. It's all God's doing. So enjoy God's blessings, but be clear who you worship. Now let's fast forward a few centuries, about 550 years, to Jesus teaching his followers. And like Joshua, Jesus asks his disciples to make a choice. Hear now God's word for us as it comes to us from John 6. When many of his disciples heard this tough teaching, they said, "Whoa, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe," for Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And Jesus said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Now because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, you know, these words of Jesus's are pretty gritty too, because like Joshua, he commands his disciples to make a choice. Choose to follow. But it may be hard, but only Jesus offers abundance. Only Jesus offers true and eternal life. Or choose to walk away. And indeed, we saw some followers walked away. Why would they walk away from Jesus? Well, perhaps because other things caught their attention. Why would we walk away from Jesus? Perhaps because other things capture our attention as well. And what captures your attention? What shiny things lure you into believing they offer abundance of spirit and life? How about Friday Night Lights? Ooh, football. Ah. Right on top of my Bible there. Well, Friday Night Lights, Lord Jim, he will tell you that he loved football since the time he was a wee little kid. You know, his parents made him go to church and confirmation, and Jim, like all our confirmation students today, loved confirmation about as much as they love a root canal. But what Jim really loved was football. Football, and he was good at football. After playing in youth leagues, Jim was the star of his high school team, and Jim was so good he was recruited by several top-notch universities. The world was his. He got a ride to a great ACC school where he was their team's quarterback. And Jim will tell you that football instilled in him a sense of discipline and a lifelong commitment to keeping active. It also taught him how to be a really good team player. That's all good stuff. But then there's the real really good stuff, you know? The lights, the attention, the glamour, or should I say the swagger. Oh, Jim had it all. It is so easy to get distracted, isn't it? Joshua knew this, and this is why he offered God's people a choice. Choose this day whom you will serve, the bright, shiny distractions or the Lord. But be honest about it. And Jesus knew this too. That's why he offered God's people a choice. I offer you spirit and life. Do you wish to walk away? Well, be honest about it. So the Bible still begs of us this question. Choose this day whom you will serve and be honest about it. Don't say, me and my household, we will serve the Lord as we're walking away. That sounds, I know, so much easier than it is. We struggle with this as a church staff. You know, parents say we want our children to learn about faith, but children have so many activities, sports and theater and music. They're just pulled. And parents say we want our children to learn about the Bible, but we're not always here on Sunday because we're so busy, and our kids are inundated with homework and activities. To read the Bible together as a family is a rarity. And adults without kids at home don't have it much better, because we seem to be pulled in 1,000 different directions so that we can't tell whether we're coming or going. Sometimes we are all just stretched to the point of breaking. Yes, my friends, we are free. We live in a land that cherishes freedom and that has come at a cost, which is why we applauded for all the veterans, especially the Air Force veterans, just a minute ago. No one in our country makes us worship anyone or anything. We are free. Yet inherent in freedom is the responsibility to choose, to prioritize. You can choose to serve the Lord, or you can choose to walk away. But be honest, you can't do both at the same time. We just can't have it both ways. Well, Jim had to make a choice. Jim had so many doors open to him, like a lucrative career. And even if he didn't make it in the NFL, he had plenty of offers on the periphery, in the peripheral jobs. Jim was a smart and popular guy. He had lots of shiny, bright choices. But you know, Jim, probably like the rest of us, when going from childhood to adulthood, especially those formative years, ages 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, Jim experienced some challenges. Now, nothing earth-shattering, but like the rest of us, Jim had to make some choices, and he had to think, what choices would be good for my life, and my future, and if I marry someday, the future of my family. So he had to choose who or what to worship. Ooh, football. Oh, football. Thank you for the friends you have brought. Thank you for the enjoyment you give. Oh, football. Now, will you help me with the big issues of life? Will you love me forever? Will you forgive me when I mess up? And will you help me forgive others when they mess up and hurt me? Oh, football. Can my household and I worship and depend on you for all eternity? What'd you say? What? I'm not hearing you. Whoa. Jim had a choice to make. He could worship the almighty football, or he could worship the almighty God, who he learned about when his parents dragged him to church and confirmation. And Jim chose to walk away from a life of football and into the church. Jim chose to become a pastor. Now, please be clear. Jim enjoyed football. He still enjoys football. but he chose to worship and serve the Lord. We all have big choices to make. We all have them. Our world is full of distractions. Our thoughts are full of distractions. Everywhere we look, something is beckoning us to follow or deluding us into believing we are completely self-sufficient. And you know as well as I do that sometimes these distractions aren't shiny and bright, but dark and foreboding. We are so aware of this after last week's attack in Texas. You know, like you, I was just heartbroken over this, heartsick, and I thought about our church, but I was still very surprised when I got an email from someone who is not in this church, but she works with clergy, and she said her husband is afraid of going back to church. Yeah, he's been a faithful attender, but he's afraid. And so I wonder how many folks are staying home from church because they are afraid. Now, if we put that in the context of our Old Testament scripture, it would be like the ancient people relinquishing their freedom and going back to slavery, only in our case, the slave master would be fear. Now, I know fear. I know fear really well. I am intimately familiar with fear. It has kept me up at night. It has churned inside of me until my stomach hurts. I know fear, and I bet you do too. And in church and in our society, all of us can be prayerful and vigilant. But we can't stop evil from happening in our world. Evil can invade in all sorts of ways, whether brazenly as in last week's attack, or insidiously, chipping away at us until we worship the fear and the habit it creates. You know, I will say there was a study highlighted this week. Now, it was a small study. It had four mass shooting samples from which it drew its conclusion, so it was small. But it reported that belonging to a supportive faith community, not one that thrives on retribution or judgment, but a supportive faith community, helps people after such an attack. They have are less depressed, less anxious, and they have active church members have a greater likelihood of finding new ways to serve and achieving stability. And I know we can work to buffer tragedy, but we can't stop tragedy. I know this. We can urge people to worship and serve the Lord, but we can't stop the shiny distractions that beckon, nor can we stop the fear that is so rampant right now. It is all part of freedom. So how can we as Christians be encouraged amidst this discouragement or amidst the distractions or amidst the disparagement? Well, we each need to find our own ways, our own callings through this. But I would like to recommend something we can all do. In these days before Thanksgiving, clarify who or what you serve and you worship. Ask yourself, do I worship other gods? If so, what are they? And then, this is the most important time, then take your time to count your blessings. Write them down, speak them into your phone, however you want to do it. Count the many blessings you've been given by God, the beautiful lakes, the food you eat, the land in which we live, the life you have, the love you have, the loved ones who may be gone but whose legacy remains. List your blessings one by one, as many as you can, and then respond to Joshua when he asks, choose this. Okay, well, I'm mindful of ending on time because I've got plans this afternoon. I'm getting out my needle and thread, I'm ordering pizza, and I'm watching the Bears-Packers game. All right, we will leave here on time. And you know what? The Bears actually have a chance to win today. It's like the first time since Martin Luther posted his thesis on the Wittenberg door 500 years ago, they have a chance to win. Whoa, awesome, I can't wait. But wait a minute, wasn't I just the one who preached about choosing between distractions and God? Yeah, that was me. And guess what? I really do enjoy football and baseball, probably far too much. But you know what? There's a difference between enjoyment and worship. When we enjoy God's blessing, then we worship God. And when we worship God, then we do enjoy God's blessing. In fact, one of our oldest creeds says the chief end of humanity is to worship and glorify God and enjoy God and God's blessings forever. So, let's enjoy. Let's enjoy. But know who you worship. And choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, even when we're eating pizza and watching the Bears, we will serve the Lord. How about you?